Catfishing Radio, episode 18.
You're listening to Learn to Catch Catfish, Catfishing Radio, with your host, professional guide, Chad Ferguson. Catfishing Radio covers tips, tricks, and information to help you learn how to catch more and bigger catfish on your next fishing trip. The ultimate resource available for expert catfishing information. After listening, make sure you visit learntocatchcatfish.com. Now, here's your host, Chad Ferguson.
Hey, this is Chad Ferguson, LearnToCatchCatfish.com, and you're listening to Catfishing Radio. This is, again, Catfishing Radio, episode 18. Catfishing Radio is a production of Learn to Catch Catfish. Learn to Catch Catfish is your website dedicated to the sport of fishing for catfish, whether you fish for blues, channels, or flatheads, fishing lakes, rivers, streams, or ponds. Our goal is to help you with the information that you need to be more successful out on the water and on your next fishing trip. Whether you're wanting to catch more numbers, bigger fish, or just learn to be a more successful angler out on the water, then we want to give you the information that you need to be able to do that and be more successful while you're out there. Catfish Radio is a small portion of the information that we provide through Learn to Catch Catfish, so if you haven't already done so, if you're finding this podcast through iTunes or Android or somewhere else online, make sure you head over to learntocatchcatfish.com and leave a and check out all the other information that you can find over there. There's tons of articles, videos, all the past archives of the podcast, everything else that you need to know about fishing the catfish. We are building in that library there through the Learn to Catch Catfish website. If you haven't already done so, you can check us out at facebook.com/catchcatfish or twitter.com/catchcatfish. Feel free to hook up with us on either one of those sites. Send us a message, share pictures, whatever you'd like to do. We love to talk catfishing through either one of those resources out there. If you'd like to go and check out the past archives of the Catfishing Radio podcast, you go to learntocatchcatfish.com/catfishingradio, and there you'll find a complete listing of all the past episodes as well as links to the show notes for each particular show. Anytime we talk about a product, an article, a video, or any type of information in one of the podcasts, you can go to the website, find the show notes for that show, and you'll find links and a good summary of all the information that was covered in that show. So you can go and find that stuff quickly and easily. That way, if you're out on the lake, driving down the road, at work, or whatever else you may be doing, listening to the Catfishing Radio podcast, you don't have to worry about writing this stuff down. Just run over to the show notes. You'll find everything there. If you haven't done so already, head on over to iTunes and leave us a star rating. LearnToCatchCatfish.com/iTunes. And you can find a link directly to the Catfishing Radio page on iTunes. Run in there. Leave us a quick star rating. Write us a quick review. And go over to the left-hand side of that screen and click that subscribe button. Let us know what you think about Catfishing Radio and subscribe to the podcast. That way you'll get updates each and every time you open up iTunes and update your device, whether you're listening on an iPhone, iPad, iPod, any of those iDevices out there. So things have still been a little bit quiet here the last couple of weeks, not posting updates on the site quite as frequently as I had hoped. And just had a few little projects going on here that I'm trying to get wrapped up that tie back to the stuff that I covered in last week's episode. All this stuff that I had going on with the boat and boat repairs, as well as some behind-the-scenes stuff with the website that I've been working on, as well as a couple other products that we're trying to get out there here over the next few months. So I've been trying to get all that stuff wrapped up and get back, hopefully, to a more frequent posting schedule. But probably through the fall and winter, I'm not going to post quite as frequently as I did in the spring and summer, but not 100% sure about that just yet. Make sure you're subscribed to the Catfishing Secrets newsletter. You can go to the website, go to the top of the page, click on Catfishing Secrets, type your name and email address in there. You'll get an email that you have to click on a link to verify that you're subscribed. But make sure you're subscribed to that, because occasionally, from time to time, I send out some special videos and other things that I like to share that I don't necessarily put on the main website, and I try to keep everybody up to date through that newsletter. Now, generally at this part of the show, I usually throw out some information about some of the ebooks and products that we have that we share there, or that we sell there on the website, and that's how we support the podcast and the videos and the website and everything that we do here to keep that stuff online and available and keep things going here as it has gotten very expensive here over the last year or so. But this week, I'm not going to go into so much of that. Want to ask everybody listening to this podcast a couple of the quick favors. If you could help me out, whenever you listen to the podcast, whenever you go in and read an article on the website, if you could do two things for me, just takes a few seconds, quick, easy, and free, I would greatly appreciate your assistance. One is, if you go in, read an article, listen to a podcast, find some type of information that you like on the website, go down to the comment section at the bottom of that article and just write us a quick comment. Let us know what you think. If you have information to share, a differing opinion, or if you just like the article, leave us a quick comment down there at the bottom and let us know. The other thing I want to ask you to do is, if you are a Facebook user, make sure that you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/catchcatfish, and click that like button on our Facebook page. And then the other thing I'd like to ask you to do, if you're a Facebook user, is if you read an article, listen to a podcast, watch a video, anything at all on our website that you like, go down to the bottom of that page and you'll find a little button with a Facebook icon on it that says share. Click that button for me and just throw it out there to all your friends on Facebook and share that information with other people out there. Help us spread the word with what we're doing here at Learn to Catch Catfish. So this week's episode of Catfishing Radio have a guest on the show. Haven't had a guest on the show in quite some time since Jeff Williams was on. We talked about Team Catfish back, it's been 4, 5, 6 episodes ago. I think it was episode 11, where we interviewed Jeff Williams with Team Catfish. Had a lot of questions about hooks. Some of this I'm going to go in and cover in a couple of articles here, hopefully in the next few weeks. Going to share some information about catfishing with circle hooks, choosing some hooks, some different information like that, to expand upon the information that we covered in episode 14 of Catfishing Radio about catfish hooks. But I've had a stockpile of questions that have come in through the Ask a Question page on the website that pertain to hooks that I wanted to reach out and get somebody else to answer. Some of it I knew the answers, but I felt like somebody would be more qualified to answer. Some of it I honestly didn't know the answers to, or didn't feel like I was competent enough to reach out and answer the questions, because some of them are pretty scientific. So this week's show, the guest is TJ Stallings from TTI Blakemore. Now, if you're not familiar with TTI Blakemore, they manufacture Daiichi hooks, Roadrunner fishing lures, Real Magic, True Turn hooks. There's a variety of other brands that fall under that TTI Blakemore company. And TJ Stallings is the guy that is kind of behind the scenes of all that stuff and really is a market leader in the fishing world. And I had TJ come on the show this week to answer some of these questions about hooks. Now, TJ's phone quit working about 10 minutes before we were supposed to call in and do the interview, and we've been trying to coordinate our schedules for about 4 months now. So rather than have to reschedule it again, we jumped on the phone via TJ's cell phone, so the call quality is not just amazing, but it's good enough to hear. Just keep that in mind as you listen. Bear with me that we just kind of did the best we could to make it work. So I'm going to jump in, throw this interview in with TJ so you can listen to this, and then we'll come back and wrap up the episode of Catfishing Radio. All right, well, today's guest on Catfishing Radio is TJ Stallings, and TJ is with TTI Blakemore and a variety of other companies out there, and I'm going to throw it out to TJ and let him explain a little bit more about all the companies that he's involved with and a little bit more about what he actually does, because I do know that he's the go-to guy when it comes to talking about this stuff with his company and in this industry, but I don't know exactly what his title is, and I think he's got his hands in so many different pots that it'd probably be less to explain, let TJ explain this himself. So TJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. How about you?
I'm doing well. So tell us a little bit more, just to explain to people so we know who's on the show today, what exactly it is that you do and what you're responsible for out there.
I'll try to keep that short because we don't want to blow the whole show. I wear 27 hats there at the office. The title is Marketing and Crazy Ideas, and that's a big can of worms to wear. I do the public relations. I do most of the product design, the packaging design, the point of sale design. A little bit of sales. They don't trust me with money, which is a good idea. And the brands include, the first brand was TruTurn, TTI, that's TruTurn Incorporated. That was the owner's dad invented the TruTurn hook back in 1959. And they picked up Daiichi hooks, then, X-Point hooks, Standout hooks, Mr. Crappie hooks, and, of course, Team Catfish hooks, too. Then they bought Roadrunner 7 years ago, which was Blakemore. And that's Real Magic and, like, 11 team kinds of Roadrunners in all kinds of colors. And I'm obviously involved in that, too. And I'm also co-publisher of a crappie fishing magazine, too.
Okay.
I sleep and fish.
And bottom line,
like the Redneck General Motors.
Yeah. And bottom line is, you can't walk through a tackle store without bumping into one of these products, because these are all go-to products that everybody uses in the industry. And I specifically wanted to talk to TJ today because I've had so many questions about hooks here of recent, and with the Daiichi and Team Catfish hooks. You guys are definitely embedded in this market. And, I would venture to say that those two hooks are without a doubt probably the most popular hooks in the catfishing world today. I don't personally know of anybody in the circles that I run around in that aren't using those hooks these days. So, like I said, I just wanted to throw some questions at you, TJ, and let you see if you could explain some of this, because these are all things that have just come at me dozens and dozens of times, and they were stuff that I wasn't either 100% sure on or felt like I couldn't adequately explain it. So I wanted to make sure we got the good information out there to people that were asking these questions.
Can you hear me nodding my head?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. All right, so the first question is about chemically sharpened hooks, and basically just a summary of what these dozens and dozens of questions all entail is, what is a chemically sharpened hook, and should you try to sharpen a chemically sharpened hook?
Wow. Chemically sharpened hooks. All hooks are cleaned in a chemical bath. Some hook companies rely on that chemical to sharpen the point. Neither the Team Catfish brand nor Daiichi relies on that chemical to sharpen the point. All those points are actually hand sharpened.
Okay.
That's why you can't buy a box of 100 up for $10.
Sure.
They're hooks. And because they're 80 carbon steel, some may burn to 78, but very high carbon, and not your typical 45 and 50 carbon steel hooks. I got to explain what carbon is now. Iron is iron. It's not steel until you add carbon. So the more carbon that's in the iron or the steel, the tougher, more dense that metal is. And if you start with good wire to begin with, we don't call it stock, we call it wire, then the better the hook will be. That will allow you to make a finer, sharper point without worrying about rollover on that point.
Okay. I think I'm still with you.
Okay.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense now, because I was actually just having a conversation the other day with, I had a client on the boat with me, and we had hung up in a big pile of trees and lost about 7 hooks. And he said something about, you know, not understanding how I could afford to fish with those hooks. And I said, yeah, you know, it's expensive when I lose them, but when I don't lose them, they last forever. And, you know, I don't have to worry about them getting dull. It's very rare that I have to, you know, replace one, where it used to be I'd use hooks for one trip and, you know, I'd have to throw them out. So that's actually interesting to know. I'm glad you could explain that, because I learned something there myself.
Well, you know, it's the same's true with razor blades. I mean, you could buy cheap razor blades and they stay sharp for maybe 3 days.
Sure.
That's the difference between a premium brand razor blade than a cheap blade, is the carbon rating of those blades and how, and that they just, you know, they just last long.
Sure. Well, that makes a ton of sense. All right. So the next question is red hooks.
You're the right guy.
And I know you're the man to talk to about this. And we actually met over red hooks many, many years ago. I don't know if you remember it or not, but I had thrown something out there on a website about red hooks, and you contacted me and educated me on red hooks. And now that's been probably 10 years ago now, maybe 9 years ago.
I apologize, I don't remember that, because I've already forgotten what I had for breakfast.
Okay. Well, the gist of these questions have been basically, I don't understand what the deal is. I see red fishing line, and people claim that red fishing line disappears in the water, and everybody's selling red hooks. I don't understand what the deal is with the red hooks. Is this a fad to catch fishermen, or does it truly affect the fishing? So tell us the scoop on the red hooks.
Well, I wasn't born this way. I grew up in a tackle shop. And I mean, many years ago, like in 78, my dad lowered different colored jig heads into the bait tank. And I didn't understand what he's doing. He just told me to shut up and watch. And popular colors like, chartreuse, black, white, pink, good fishing colors, nothing happened. Dark red, you could put it down inside the minnows, and you could see the jig for the minnows chewing on that red head.
Hmm.
And obviously, there was something there. And then I could take a Barlow knife, scratch a minnow, throw it in the tank, and it would be just like piranha. And I couldn't get the minnows to tell me, was it a scent or was it the red color that drew them to it, okay?
Yeah.
Or if the minnows would talk, it would help. Shiners, which are supposedly vegetarians, they responded the same way. And for years, I just kept doing fishing tests. I got to the point where none of my fishing buddies would let me, you know, they would not be the test dummy. I would have to use the non-red colors. And consistently, red outfished anything that we used, especially with jig heads. And then, gosh, I'm going to say in 1997, a friend of mine pointed his laser sight at his aquarium, and he had pet bass and some scared bluegill in there. And everything with fins followed the dot like it was a circus act, and that's when it occurred to me the hook needed to be the color that the fish hit, not the bait. And we did some trot line studies. We did some tank studies. And the most telling study was the trot line studies. We could put equal numbers of red, bronze, or gold hooks on a trot line. And we cut Vienna sausage with a ruler to make sure it was equal sizes. And we would do a creel count every 24 hours. And red would outfish gold and bronze hooks combined. And I didn't invent red hooks. Red hooks have been out there. Walleye fishermen will choose a red hook before any other color because they know they work. They just didn't know why. And then we started doing crankbait studies. Crankbait studies, we would put a bleeding bait treble on the front, fish it, and count how many times that hook was in the mouth. Then we put move that hook to the back and the same hook up front, and they would hit the back hook. And, I mean, they just target blood injury. And then we did another study on redfish on the flats, fishing nose-to-hook jerkbaits. And the fish traveled further on a flat to hit the bait, further than I'd ever seen it before. And I talked to another one of my biologist friends, and he said, that was a class I skipped. He said, you don't remember gill flash. That's a feeding signal from one fish to the other. Hey, I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so far away, say, fairly clear water, 10 feet, that flash makes fish think, oh, somebody else is eating. You know, you're not hungry. Do you see somebody else eating an ice cream cone?
Sure. Sure.
Same theory. And then they always hit blood injury, just like that lion always hits that gazelle with a limp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the same thing. Then about the invisibility thing, the tackle industry kind of embarrassed me. After the bleeding bait theory got out there, and you know, we had the product out there, and people were bragging about it in Bassmaster magazine and magazines all over the country how it was working. And one guy in Louisiana had this Cajun line, and it kind of spooked me at first, but it was transparent red line, and it does draw more strikes. And what we found out, and we did this at a aquarium at a tackle shop, one of those big aquariums.
Mm-hmm.
We tied on the Cajun line, tied on one of my hooks, cut the point off with some bolt cutters so that we wouldn't catch a pet, threw it over into the tank, and sure enough, the line is like gone. It is impossible to see. And, of course, the red hook being a solid color, because it's not transparent like line.
Sure.
The bluegill and everything else in the tank were banging the hook.
So the difference then would be the transparency that's in versus the fishing line versus
right.
The steel.
Now, there is some solid red line out there. There's no way in the world I'd ever use it.
Yeah.
But transparent red line, like Cajun line, I've tested it, and I get more strikes on it than I do any other color.
So if you were to take a braid in a red color, it would not disappear in the water?
No, it would not.
Okay.
Well, not near as much as... I mean, if red really disappeared underwater, what color are our subs in the Navy?
Yeah. Sure. I got you.
I mean, those guys are a lot smarter than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes sense. And would be interesting to have a bunch of red submarines floating around out there.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you explained that because, like I said, I knew the basic concepts about it, but certainly am not anywhere near as well-versed as you are. Okay. So the next question is circle hook sizing. And again, I'm going to paraphrase.
One of my favorite questions.
I'm going to paraphrase this one as well. And, it's basically, that, I took a 7-0 Daiichi hook and held it up to several other size 7-aught hooks, and there were huge variances in sizes between all of them. And I've had that question probably, I probably get it about 4 to 5 times a month, and I looked through my email and probably had it 150 times over the course of a year. And honestly have no idea. I do know that there's huge variances in them. And, you know, prior to switching exclusively to Daiichi and Team Catfish hooks, I was using a different manufacturer years ago. And, you know, the size that I was using then is much, much, much smaller than a 7-aught that you guys have. So explain the sizing there and why there's such a huge variance in the industry.
You got hook makers in Japan, where circle hooks are like bread.
Sure.
Everywhere. Okay. Then you got hook manufacturers in France, Norway, Korea, and none of them would agree on a standard.
Okay.
Hooks, okay. What's important about circle hooks is you're not buying a hook to fit the jaw. You're buying a hook that will fit the lip. Okay?
Yeah.
The gap between the point and the shank, that's what matters. If you're standing in the store and you're picking out circle hooks, smile at the security cameras and go ahead and open up that bag.
Yeah.
Okay, if you can't tell what's in there. And look at that gap. Look at the gap between the point and the shank, and if it will fit the lip, I don't mean like a piercing, with a little, you know, scope there where, you know, it will definitely get inside there between that gap, and then there's enough gap in the bottom of that hook to allow for the bait, then you've got the right size hook.
Yeah, and we, you know, I have a lot of people on the boat with me, and I pull that. Yeah, you know, I'm generally fishing with that 7-aught circle chunk light and an 8-aught, the Team Catfish double action, one of the two.
Right.
And I usually pull those hooks out, and people look and they're like, you know, what are we going to fish for sharks? And my experience has been that 7-aught, 8-aught will catch fish from 2 to 3 pounds. All the way up to trophy fish. And there was a long time there where I was fishing smaller circle hooks when I was fishing for just smaller box fish, you know, blue catfish. And I was losing fish. And, you know, this was really when circle hooks were really beginning to gain a lot of popularity. And I didn't understand it and was one of these guys that was out there cussing circle hooks and how horrible they were. And, you know, nowadays won't use anything else, but it took me a long time to learn that lesson of making sure that the hook was big enough and keeping that gap open.
Yeah.
And then also hooking the bait the right way, because one of the things I fought with for a long time, and it took me a long time to put two and two together, was hooking the bait, taking a big chunk of shad, putting it on the hook. And then what would happen is I'd start fishing, and the piece of bait would flip around and go over the point of the hook.
Double hooking, they call it, or in Florida they call it fouling.
Yeah, and it would double hook that bait, and we'd get a bite, and we'd come in there. We, you know, we'd lose a fish, the line would go limp, and it took me a long, long time and a lot of lost fish to figure out the mistake that I was making there. But
there's a couple of ways to prevent that. One, the a lot of people will take a small piece of tiny plastic worm, slide it up the hook, parallel to the point, and slide it back down, then put the bait on. That's one way. We make another product called a target bead, which is actually a TrueTerm product. It's a soft silicone-like bead, and you can slide it over a hook, and it's real tight. It's got a real small hole in it. Slide it up the hook and use it as a bait stop. We still got other people that are using O-rings to do that.
So you take one of those beads and put the bead on the hook, and then the bait goes on top of the bead?
No, behind the bead.
That goes that on behind the bead. Okay.
Right. So that doesn't slide up past that point where the it stays south per se of the point and doesn't get double hooked.
That's interesting. And I learned something new. I may have to give that a try because I hook my bait, you know, big pieces of cut shad, I hook at an angle to prevent that bait from flipping around and double hooking. But I'd never thought about that. Didn't even know that existed. I'm going to have to get some of those and give that a try and see how that works out. It may be better because I definitely prefer hooking those baits from the side than I do running it through there at an angle. So I'm going to have to give that a try one of these days.
And not all circle hooks are created equal. I don't know if you've really looked at that circle light or the double action hook from King Catfish, but if you look at the hook going from the eye down, you got a little bend, and then you got a real tight radius with the barb and then the point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas traditional circle hooks are more round, and then they got like a 90-degree bend in the point. And the next time you get a shot, ask the nurse at the doctor's office to bend the needle before she gives you a shot.
No thanks.
It does make a difference.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does.
So by putting more radius down on the bottom of the bend of the hook, that allows us to do a slow curve in that point. It's still a circle hook. It's still parallel or perpendicular to the shank, the point is. But it doesn't have that 90-degree bend right on the point. And I've had guys that have used traditional hooks get the catfish in the boat, and then the hook come right out. That's because that hook did not go all the way in because of that 90-degree bend.
Sure. And we're going to cover here. I actually recorded a piece with Jeff Williams a few weeks ago, and went in and Jeff and I talked some about explaining some of the different ways that you can fish with circle hooks, because certainly, you know, I think there's a big misconception that you got to just leave it in the rod holder and wait for the fish to hook itself and then pull it in. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. I think more and more people are learning these days. And, you know, we're going to have that here on the show here in a few weeks and go through that.
Well, as a guide, it's pretty hard to beat the rod holder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's what turned me to circle hooks. TJ, is I had, you know, I had always used kale hooks, and I loved holding that rod and keeping a tight line and getting a bite and setting the hook. And, you know, I would get clients in the boat, and they just couldn't get the timing down. And they would miss fish after fish after fish after fish with me going, set the hook. You got to do it harder than that. You got to do it, you know, and there's some people that would get it. And usually anybody that wasn't real experienced, it would take them, you know, a couple hours a lot of times to get the hang of it before they would really start putting fish in the boat. And then when I finally started experimenting with circle hooks, what I did is I was fishing circle hooks off one side of the boat and rod holders, and I had my customers holding the rods with the kale hooks, and I started to realize that they were catching six times more fish on the rods with the circle hooks on them that were in the rod holders than they were the ones that they were holding, because they just couldn't get the timing down. And you know, it's pretty rare anymore that we miss fish. I mean, obviously, you know, we have gar come through and strip all the baits, and, you know, we have big baits out and a white bass will come through and strip them off. But if we're in a good catfish bite, I mean, we rarely will miss fish, you know, when they're biting. And the other experience that I've had with, the trophy catfish, I used to use kale hooks for the trophy catfish, and we would lose fish on the way into the boat all the time. I mean, you know, you'd be fighting for, you know, 5-10 minutes, and then all of a sudden the line would just go limp and that'd be it. And since I switched over to circle hooks exclusively about, I don't know, I guess it was about 6 or 7 years ago, in that time, not one single time have we had a fish that was hooked that we lost on the way into the boat because the hook came out.
It's pretty hard to beat a circle hook.
Yeah, pretty tough. Well, I want to ask you one last question about a product, and then ask you one last question about another project you have going on, and then I'll let you get to whatever you have to do. Tell me a little bit about Real Magic, and it's something that I use a lot, and I think personally it's a great product, and I use it for a variety of different things, and I think that there's not enough guys out there know about it, and not enough guys out there that actually use it. And I wanted you to just kind of give a real quick run through on what that stuff is and some of the things that you can do with it.
Well, there's so much you can do with it, but what it's really intended for is treating lines so that you have lubricant. It actually lubricates the line. It's odorless in about 10 seconds. And it's been around, oh gosh, I think 17 years now. And actually the formula's been refined over the years. And personally, I like the stuff that comes out of the pump bottle as opposed to the can, because it's what's in the can is diluted with propellant. And what's in the pump bottle is pure Real Magic. What it does to mono is it makes it slicker, and a lot of people don't understand that line, mono line, actually absorbs water. And you can test this yourself. You can take some, let's say, 10-pound test, so it's easy to break, and soak a piece overnight in a glass of water and tie it to some scales and break it, and then break dry line, and you'll be surprised the difference in break strength. Line obviously isn't as strong because it's full of water. It, of course, it lubricates that line. It also protects it from UV deterioration, reduces friction on the guides. And if you're silly like me and fish when it's really cold, it also prevents icing on the line and guides.
Mm-hmm.
On braid. This is real important on braid. All braid is a lot alike. If it's Dyneema, then it's all, you know, this brand and that brand. The only difference will be color.
Mm-hmm.
And braid is only good as the coating. And treating it with Real Magic, it'll reduce that noise it makes as it goes through guides, which is my first pet peeve.
Sure.
It increases your casting distance, and your braid will last longer. Fluorocarbon is very dense. It allows very little Real Magic to penetrate that line. So with fluorocarbon, you need to treat it the night before you go fishing and then the morning before the first cast.
Hmm.
That's when it's most effective. It just has to be double treated on fluorocarbon. Other uses? Good grief. The plexiglass on your windshield, your plexiglass windshield on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, never use a paper towel on that. Use a terry cloth towel. Real Magic will make it bead water and shine it right up. The same properties that work for line work on plexiglass. I've got it on my TV screen right now, and it hasn't been clean in a month. You got a laptop, I assume. You know,
yes.
You put a laptop in a bag and pull it back out, and it looks like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you clean your laptop, and then here again, use the pump bottle, not the spray, and I treat my laptop screen once a month. Here again, I don't use a paper towel, I use a soft cloth, and it just kills static. I mean, I open up my laptop, it has something laying on it, I blow on it, it's gone.
Hmm.
And right now, I'm doing an experiment on my ceiling fan in the living room at the house. I mean, you can clean a ceiling fan, a week later you got to clean it again.
Yeah.
I'm shooting for a month.
Wow. I wouldn't have never come up with probably any of those other than the reel. And, you know, what I use it for, which outside of putting it on my reels, I spray it on my line, not every day, but every couple of weeks I spray it on there and give them a good coat when I get in from fishing. And I think it certainly helps with what I'm doing. And I carry a bottle of it in my boat at all times. And, how I got hooked on it was every time I'd get in the boat and get out in the sun, my screen on my graph would look like a rhinoceros had blown its nose on it and, you know, started spraying down the screen on my graph with it and cleaning that off. And, I mean, it does wonders and comes out, you know, crystal clear and stays that way for a long time. And, you know, I see a lot of people see me using that stuff and they're like, what is that? Why are you using that? And it's one of those things that I can't believe that more people, I know a lot of people use it, but I can't believe that more people don't use it. It's one of those things that you know, I have to have.
You got an express boat.
Yes.
Okay. Does it have the dimple finish?
Yeah. On the interior, yes.
No, on the outside, it's like not real. It's not like a painted finish. I mean, it's paint, but it's dimpled, so to speak.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You get some.
I had an express. I just sold it this last month. You're gonna love this. In our river here in the Alabama River, you pull that express out, and the pollen is so thick, it adheres to the boat. And by the time you drive home, it's now concrete. It would
mm-hmm.
not come off until you scrubbed it off. It was horrible. Okay.
Sure.
That stuff comes in quarts. After I got it clean, I would clean the whole water line on the boat, up and down the sides and across the front and across the motor. Looked real magic. And then, I mean, that stuff sheds water really well. We'd come in, I'd get a, I always kept a big beach towel in the boat. And I would just walk up and down the sides of the boat, wipe that pollen right off.
I would have never thought of that either. And yeah, I'm gonna give that a try because our lake's turning over here right now. And every day when I come in, I've got a big thick line of scum down the side of it. So I'm going to give that a try and see how that works.
It really works. And the guys with the rat boats are figuring out that real magic will keep stuff sticking to that vinyl finish too. So I guess I should rename it boat stuff or whatever. But
nah, you're good. You're good. You're good, except for every time I spell it, I spell R-E-E-L magic, and I need
to... It used to be spelled that way.
Oh, did it?
Yep, it sure did. It sure did, and then Joe changed it back to R-E-A-L, and because they were treating, you know, everything else with it, and they decided to call it R-E-A-L.
Hmm. Well, good. I'm glad I knew it. I had seen that at one point, so I'm glad I didn't just dream that up. Well, tell me about, last but not least, and obviously this is a catfishing podcast, but I know I've got a lot of guys out there that listen to or that are interested in fishing for other species of fish and are not catfish exclusive like I am for the most part. And, Tell me a little bit real quick about your little crappie project that you have, and or actually, I guess it's not a little crappie project, your big crappie project that you have and what you're doing over there, because I'm sure there's some guys that listen to this show that would like to go over there and check that out and learn some stuff.
You talking about the magazine?
Yes.
You know, Roadrunner is really known for crappie more than anything else, although, you know, I'm up to 23 species myself on Roadrunners. It's pretty hard to beat a Roadrunner. And
mm-hmm.
you remember that gillflash phenomenon we were discussing when we were talking about red hooks?
Yes, sir.
It's built in on Roadrunners.
Hmm.
So you got that pony head shape, and then you've got that blade spinning right under. And that's one reason why Roadrunners just outfish ordinary jigs is because of the additional attraction to the senses of contrast and sound and vibration. It's just a super bait.
Sure.
If you were stuck on a desert island, that's the bait right there. And then having been involved so much in crappie tournaments and such, I came up with the idea for Crappie Now magazine, which is strictly online. We're not killing any trees. Excuse me. In the industry, the anglers needed a monthly crappie magazine about how to catch crappie right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I dreamed up that idea, and my best friend Dan decided, he said, man, we need to do this. And he's a very technical guy. He owns a KMS Technologies group. And the next thing I know, I'm not sleeping as much as I used to. And the number one crappie writer in the country is Tim Huffman. He's the editor and writes several articles each month. And the next best known crappie fisher writer is probably Keith Sutton, who's also the number one catfish writer in the country.
Yeah.
He contributes every month. And then there's another writer from Pennsylvania that's a very astute crappie angler. His name is Darl Black. You've read his work everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three main writers every month in Crappie Now. And wow, we're just blown away. It's really taken off. You can go to crappienow.com, or if you see the QR tag somewhere, you can scan it and read it on your phone.
And that's
pretty high tech for a redneck.
Yeah. Well, I feel that way every day when I get up.
But we're really blessed with the success of the magazine. And it's just like I said, it's a side project. We're just overwhelmed. In fact, when you rang me, I was on the phone with Dan because we picked up two more advertisers this afternoon.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. And you'll never see a full page ad in the magazine. You will see content on every page. That was one of the first demands I made when we had our first meeting.
So let's see. That website, TJ, that's crappienow.com, right?
Yeah. Right.
And the main website for TTI Blakemore is ttiblakemore.com. Is that right?
Or you can go to DaichiHooks.com or RoadrunnerLures.com, and it'll take you all to the same place.
Okay. Great. Well, TJ, I certainly thank you for taking the time to come on the show today and explain this to everybody. And this has been an excellent resource, and I actually learned some things myself. So, you know, anytime I can walk away with some more information to be armed and dangerous, I'm good to go. So I'm pretty happy. Anything you want to throw out there before we go?
Well, I appreciate you inviting me on the show. And after we sign off, I want you to stay on so I can get your address and make sure you get some of those target feeds.
Oh, all right. Well, I appreciate that. Hold on just one second. So again, I want to thank TJ for being a guest on this week's episode of Catfishing Radio, and hopefully you learned some things. I definitely did. I've got some new tricks that I'm going to get out there and try, and certainly as I learn more and begin to experiment with some of these things that TJ and I discussed, I will share that information either through the podcast or through the website. And go over and check out these products. As I mentioned in the podcast, that Team Catfish Double Action Circle Hook and that Daiichi Circle Chunk Light are go-to hooks in my fishing arsenal. And I rely on those hooks almost exclusively anymore. And again, I'm going to cover some information on catfishing with those hooks and how to use them here in either an article or a podcast, or maybe both, coming up in hopefully the not too distant future. Something I've been working on, I just haven't got it quite finished yet. I just need to find the time to sit down and do that. So anyway, go over, check out ttiblakemore.com. If you want to find any of these products that we've discussed in this week's episode of the show, you go to learntocatchcatfish.com/catfishingradio, or just go to the main website. Look for Catfishing Radio, episode 18. You'll find links to all these products as well as a summary of this show and what was discussed. And you can go in and check those things out. Remember, when you read an article, find something you like on the website, go over there, leave us a quick comment, give us some feedback, let us know what you think. Hit that Facebook share button. Catch up with us on Facebook, facebook.com/catchcatfish, and Twitter, twitter.com/catchcatfish. And we will be back with
the next episode of Catfishing Radio probably in 2 weeks, I think. I think we're going to go with a two-week schedule through the course of the fall and winter. Could change, but that's what I'm thinking, or at least that's my thought as of this 15 minutes. So stay tuned. We'll be back with a future episode. Best of luck on the water. Tight lines, screaming clickers. Again, this is Chad Ferguson, learntocatchcatfish.com.